And let's pray together. Father, we believe, we understand that there were 5 bleeding wounds on your son as he hung on a cross. Father, we know that you sent him there to die for all of those who would believe in him. We pray that you would help us to remember him well now. Lord, we pray that as we look at your word, your spirit would enter into us, that you would assist us in seeing what is there for us to see. Lord, we want to exalt your son. We want to lift him high to the place that he belongs. We seek your help in that, and we pray it in his name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with me, would you turn to Romans chapter 3? Romans chapter 3. Paul is writing to the church in Rome. In chapter 1, he helps the church understand that the wrath of God is revealed against the unrighteousness of man. And in chapter 2, he explains that that unrighteousness is part of 2 different kinds of people. It's inherent in the Jew, and it's inherent in the Gentile. The Jew was given the law, and they find that in attempting to keep the law, they're unable to keep all of it. They see God's holy standard, and they see themselves as unable to keep God's holy law. Chapter 2, Paul also explains that the Gentile, while they haven't been given the law, they instinctively do the things of the law, and their conscience alternately assures them and convicts them. Because on some days they're able to hold up somewhat to God's law, and other days they fall terribly short. So you have 2 kinds of people. You have the Jew and the Gentile, and both of them fall short of God's righteous, holy standard. In verse 21 of chapter 3, Paul begins to talk about a different kind of righteousness. We're going to read from verses 21 through 25 together. And as we do, let's look at 2 things. Let's look at the origin or the source of that righteousness. And then let's look at the means by which that righteousness comes to one who believes. So let's read starting in verse 21 together. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. We see in verse 21 where the righteousness comes from. It is the righteousness of God. This righteousness is inherent in God. It's part of who he is. It's a property of his. And we see at the very beginning of that verse that that righteousness is not obtained by keeping the law and by observing the law. The verse starts with, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. So the righteousness is from God, and it's apart from any effort of mankind, whether he's a Jew and he has a law formally that he keeps, or he is a Gentile and he instinctively knows the law and he doesn't measure up to that law himself. Either one of those possesses not the righteousness of God. This is the righteousness that was revealed in the Old Testament writings. As you look at the law itself and as you look at the writings of the Old Testament prophets, what is borne out is the holiness and the righteousness of God. And so God was showing the Jew and he was showing the Gentile in the Old Testament that I have a righteousness that is beyond you. But as we get into verse 22, we can see how that righteousness comes to a person. The righteousness of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. There is no distinction for either the Jew or the Gentile, the one that has faith in Jesus Christ and they believe. Verse 23 tells us that the believing Jew and the believing Gentile are both sinners. And in that state, they fall short of the glory of God. It's important to understand that that verse is speaking of believers who fall short of God's glory. But we see what God does for them in verse 24. They are justified as a free gift by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justification is a term that speaks to that righteousness that we see back in verse 21. To be justified is to be declared righteous by a holy God. It's not because of something that we've done. It's by virtue of a statement that God has made about a believer. God declares them righteous. And the rest of the verse tells how that comes about. The rest of the verse tells us that we are justified as a gift by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. To be redeemed is to be released from the power of sin, to be released from the power of sin by the payment of a price. And at the end of the verse, we see how that payment of price comes into play. It's in one and only one person, and that person is the person of Jesus Christ. And verse 25 gives us the details on that, a very public event that we remember here today. There was a cross, and it was a cross, and it was where a Savior hung in a very public way. Several different kinds of people were there observing the death of Jesus Christ. It's very important for us to understand what a propitiation is. A propitiation is a satisfaction of wrath, the absorption of wrath, the finishing of wrath. God's anger against those who would believe was completely satisfied. It's easy for us to say those words and to think in those terms sometimes, but it's helpful to get some perspective on what that really means. When we spill some water on the kitchen counter, we take a sponge and we're able to absorb all of the water that spilled on the counter. The believer attempting to satisfy God's wrath against him is one who would take that sponge and walk down to the oceans of this world and attempt to absorb within that sponge all of the water in the oceans of this world. It's just not possible. It doesn't have the capacity. It doesn't have the means. You could spend tens of millions of years attempting to absorb all of that water, and you would be no further along in your journey and your task than when you began. That's the way it is with a believer. That's the way it is with a person who attempts to satisfy God's wrath on their own. They can't. The believer is the one who understands they have no capacity to do that. Instead, they understand that the blood of Jesus Christ, they have faith that the blood of Jesus Christ is what atoned for their sin, that God satisfied his anger against them for the offense that their sin is against him in the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, as Jesus hung on the cross. So that's what we remember this morning. We're here to remember that. And if you understand Jesus in those terms, as the only one who is capable of absorbing within himself all of God's anger against you because of the offense that your sin is against him, would you join us? Ponder the Jesus who hung on a cross for us, his love for you, that he would suffer and he would die in your place. When you've done that, take the elements on your own. If you're here today and your understanding of Jesus is something very different than that, you see him on a cross and you don't have an idea of what it is that he accomplished on that cross, you reject him for who he said he was, please understand that this is not a time for you. This is a time for people who understand Jesus the way Scripture explains him. So the men are going to come in service in just a moment. But if you are one of those ones who has an understanding of Jesus that's different from what is explained in the Scriptures, please make sure you talk to the person next to you or near you, or come see one of the elders after the service. We would love to talk more with you about the nature and the person of Jesus Christ. So men, would you come in service? And when everyone has been served, I will come and lead us in prayer.